58 years young.
Okay, chucka-chucka-chucka-chucka-chucka, test, 1, 2, check. Okay, give me a little check there, boy.
Check, everybody.
Beautiful. You're just beautiful. Okay, welcome to the Moose Turd Cafe.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, November 15th. It's coming up on 6:30 a.m. Here at the Moose Turd Cafe on EnlightenRadio.org with your original Dusty Putin philosopher and host, Mr. John Case. Our call-in line is 304-885-0708. Today, we're going to talk about all kinds of things. It depends on what Dr. Lecter's recipe book opens up. You know what I'm saying?
You know, every other day...
And John's sidekick...
Mike Gazzo!
He's a loser that does really crappy in practice.
Mike,
everybody!
Get rid of that announcer. Get rid of him.
That guy.
Hi,
John. Good morning.
Plus, he did not let us know about the fact that Dr. Lecter has once again filled the pepper shaker with ticks.
Yeah.
I wish he would stop doing that.
I know. It's not but they're not alive.
No. They're like little flakes.
They're
tick flakes, you know.
Freshly ground ticks with no blood in them. There's
they've been apparently sucked dry. I mean, perhaps. Now maybe we know what's going on here. You know,
John.
What?
John, this is Steve Schmidt here.
Hey, Steve.
hey, John. I must say, I just want to call in to say I'm really actually quite concerned for the future of both my country and my party. You have toddlers running every aspect of our government, and they're running it into the ground. I'm very, very. I don't understand your response, John. But I'll take it.
It's gunfire in the White House. We're playing with Uzis.
These things that have been put in place by Steve Bannon, quite frankly, are scary. And
well, that's true.
People need to understand that if this horrible human being, Roy Moore, is elected to the Senate, the Republican Party is going to pay for that for the next 40 years.
I wish they'd pay for it for the next 1,000.
I have a tendency to agree with you, Mr. Case. I never thought I'd say that, but there it is. And right now, my wife is a career naval officer, and I am deeply offended by just about every day. There's a new and fresh horror for us to wake up to, whether by immaturity, bumbling lunacy, or stupidity. We cannot continue to move forward.
Well, we've had a third mass murder in a month now out in Northern California this morning, last night.
So something has to be done about these guns, Mr. Case.
How about we shoot the people that ought to really be shot? I don't understand how we're going to get rid of them. How are you going to get rid of them?
Certainly, sir, that's not an effective idea.
Well,
however, I'm going to have to go now.
Okay, who?
Because I am embarrassed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for joining us, though, Steve. Okay, former campaign manager for Senator John McCain's presidential effort.
Yes.
And,
was very.
How are you going to disarm?
Tentative. He was very tentative about signing off on Sarah Palin.
How are you going to disarm these sons of bitches? You're not.
No. The accessibility and availability of powerful weapons is plentiful.
And, you know, and this chaos descending upon our country is making people grab for more, not less.
Right. Right. And it's, I think also, too, I think people are not processing information critically. There is no...
Well, there's no authoritative sources. Every authoritative source is debased by the freak that's in the White House right now.
Well, okay. I will say that I don't know if you know this, but Shep Smith on Fox News is catching holy hell because he broke down the uranium story as a big bunch of bullshit. And he called his own organization out on the air.
Oh, so he'll be fired.
Well, Shep Smith is somebody who could probably very easily transition directly over to MSNBC.
Really? Okay. I never paid much attention to him. I thought he looked a bit like, you know, Wilbur's brother or something. But
well, he's a pretty prominent, slightly conservative gay man who's was at one point, I think, forced to out himself because of his own organization. But also, too, I don't think there was any secret. I don't think he was keeping that secret or anything. He just, as far as the, line goes, as far as the line of journalism goes, I think he's probably more of a journalist. He's certainly not a operative. When you have Jeanine Pirro and Sean Hannity having the ability to call the White House and push them to push the DOJ to open up an investigation into bullshit, we have a problem.
Oh, we have so many problems. It's yeah, right. That's another the latest. By the way, I see an article in the Atlantic. I was asking this morning about it. You know, whether you'd seen it or not. This the national thing on this movement, the Me Too movement.
Right.
This about stopping the sexual harassment. Bill Clinton's narrative is coming back, and I'm afraid that boy is not done with his trouble.
Well, probably not.
You know, so. But it's too bad, you know. Gifted guy, but whatever. That was his weakness. That was one of them, anyway.
Yeah. But also, too, all right, I'm not going to push back against this, and I'm not going to defend or excuse anything that he's done in the past, but also, too, let's keep in mind, to a certain extent, yes, the age was an issue, but it was also consenting.
Well,
and I sound like a Roy Moore defender, but I'm not trying to. My point is, I don't know that you have, you know, you had a situation where a woman came out and blamed him for, I think, a sexual assault, and when it came time for her to testify, she didn't testify. She had an opportunity to come and testify, and she was afforded that opportunity not once but twice, and both times she refused.
Yeah, I know. Still. You should take a look at the Atlantic article. I'm just putting it out there.
Did you see by the way the robocall?
Mm.
Where they had a the Roy Moore campaign had an impressionist do an impression of what would easily be construed as a hack Jewish impression of a reporter calling and offering women between the ages of 54 and 60 $7,000 to $8,000 for their story.
Oh, so they did their own robocall offering the money
as evidence that the enemy was doing it.
Yeah.
Which is just, I mean, I cannot begin to
scumbags.
Unpack the
criminals. They're criminals.
Cruelty and
these guys are criminals.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, they're blatant about. Have a judge who's so such an insane, a cynic, or a complete. Well, I think a cynic, you know, an evil man, you know, manipulate this kind of con for years and years and years, and underneath it all is just corruption. You know, of the vilest kind.
Corruption, but you have a man that's assaulted women.
Well, that's what I mean. But the
both sexually and otherwise.
But the cover up,
physically,
the cover up, and they were reviewing his decisions exonerating sex offenders.
Yep.
You know, over BS. You know, half the time. So I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, but the guy gets away with it for years. I mean, and it was not unknown. But, you know, he's a man.
I don't know very many people in my life that have been banned from a mall.
Well,
mall.
You might be banned from a mall for engaging in shoplifting, for example. I mean, that could
happen. Well, I get that, but I don't know.
But for
again,
molesting?
The mall, for me, the Springfield Mall, when we were growing up, was a place to hang out.
To go and see
other kids. And
apparently for Judge...
It was exciting, and there was stores everywhere, and you could go see all kinds of cool stuff, and they had music, and it was just different. And, you know, there was kiosks and all kinds of cool stuff.
Well, apparently for Judge Roy Moore as well, but he was a little older, but that's okay. I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't know that he was interested in what was the merchandise that was in the store on the shelves. I think he was more interested in the shoppers themselves, which,
yeah.
You know, also begs all kinds of predatorial, I mean, this predatorial criminal behavior, I understand, I think it was one of the young ladies from Emily's List who was a pretty prominent operative in the Clinton campaign was essentially saying, look, you know, we're sick of it. We're done. We're finished. You got a guy in the White House, 17 women. 17 documented cases. You got a guy in the White House who admitted as much.
Yeah, he did.
On video.
Yeah.
You don't think that's going to have a pushback?
Oh, I mean, it's definitely, I think the whole Trump era has people. Yeah, sure. I think some millions of women are just sick. I mean, the insult of electing this man president, for example, you know, to the dignity of women, I mean, is itself a...
It's insulting each and every day.
It's and
every
it,
moment,
and it becomes
every
manifest.
Day that ends and why, all of it. It's
And for those women, you know, who thought or maybe didn't even think, thought, oh, gee, well, it's just, same old, you know, why make a big deal out? Well, now you see that, you know, I mean, that really, I mean, under the covers of this thing, there's just tons of...
Well, I will tell you, a very good friend of mine who I admired greatly, and I still do, who is a tremendously talented female comic, came out about some of her issues, and I had spent time talking with her. She had met my wife. She had great advice about stand-up, about, you know, the structure of writing and performing, on and on. We had talked on a regular basis for a very long time. She had posted, her name is, I don't think she'd mind if I used her name. I don't want to get her in any trouble or have any issues for her. She's just a dear, sweet soul. Her name is Mimi. And I'm not going to give her last name, but she was billed herself as one of the only openly bisexual comedians.
Yeah.
And she just, she was really very funny, and she was willing to tolerate a joke that I would do after she opened. You know, she would go up, and then I would go up on stage and say, hey, everybody, keep it going for Mimi. She's a very, 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 very close personal friend of mine and my wife's.
I see, okay.
You know, just kind of, and she thought that was...
Okay.
And then I just moved on. I hit it once and moved on, and she never issued any offense at that joke. You know, and I made sure I had asked her when we first met. I said, "Is that over the top for you? If it is, I can drop it the next show. I won't." And I said, I don't need it. It was in the moment. And she said, "No, I don't give a shit. That's funny." So, you know, she had a great, you know, a great sense of humor, and I admired her as a comic and a writer, as a human being. And
okay.
I still do.
Yeah.
I still do, you know? I mean, a lot of these... And then she posted this thing about this guy who did this thing to her, and I'm just like, how can you be that freaking stupid and awful?
Yeah,
but do you think that the Moose Turd Cafe might, you know, publish a flirting guide for the future?
Here's an idea, fellas. Compliment someone's shoes.
That's from the movie. That was.
Start off by complimenting shoes.
Your shoes look great.
Mm. Those are terrific. Where'd you get those? Those are great. Wow. I think I'll buy a pair of those for my mom or my sister.
I don't know. That's why the girls buy the. If you say you like their shoe, then maybe you weren't just staring at her chest, you know. So.
Well, it's certainly not. it certainly becomes more of an opening for a conversation.
Oh, I agree. You know, man. I mean, it's.
You know, looking sharp, great outfit.
Right. Okay.
You know. Now, there's a way to be complimentary without being skeezy.
So, like, for example, a wolf whistle would be wrong step.
If I told you had a nice body, would you hold it against me?
Yeah.
Huh? See, all these Ted Knights.
Yeah, Ted Knights, exactly.
That's a lovely blouse. It would look much better all balled up in the corner of my bedroom.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I've heard those kind of standard awfulness pickup lines, and I find myself trying not to puke.
Yeah, right. They're terrible, right? I mean, and they're not pickup. I mean, why would anybody willingly say yes, unless money was being exchanged?
Could we go back to, hi, my name's Mike. It's nice to meet you. Can we get to that? Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Great day today. I had a good commute in here to the gig. I'm glad the hotel's not that far from the gig. That's cool, because for me, I just like to do the show and then head back to the hotel, try to sell some merch, and let's do this.
I'm married.
Yep. Yep.
No, that's the time when you could do the James Bond line. This is, I prefer married women.
So, how much time are you going to do? 30? No, I'm not saying, no, if you want to run over, that's fine, it doesn't bother me, it's, you know, if you want to do 40, that's fine, I don't care.
Yeah, who are you talking to?
That's how you would talk to, if you're the headliner, and you're meeting the other comics. Say there's an opener, right, the host, and then there's a feature act, the middle, and then you're the closer.
Yeah.
Your first mission is to go into the room and introduce yourself, say hi to the other comics, and talk to the host, because the host generally is going to want to know what your intro is.
Yeah.
You can simplify that. I know, as being a former host years ago at the Comedy Cafe, Dan Harris's room, where I started, I was given 2 pages to read from one headliner. And he said, "You better get it right."
Okay, it's time for.
You know what I? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly.
It's a lot easier just to, and that's why I hit them with one or two recent credits. If there was a commercial out there that I was in, I'd say, "Hey, look, here's a commercial I was in, and you know, just say that, and you know, from West Virginia, and my name, and that's it." I would try to make it as sweet, short, and succinct as possible, because the host has so much other things to think about. They have to think about the feature's intro. They have to watch the feature's time. They have to light the feature. They have to go back up on stage, tell a little joke, get your intro, bring you up. So a little bit of responsibility there. And if there's guest spots thrown in there, where unbeknownst to them, they come into the room, the booking agent says, "Hey, by the way, this other person showed up and drove 2 hours. I want to take a look at him." You know, put him up in between the yourself and the feature.
No, I hear you, man.
So you got to be able to do all of those things, and you know, and make it look seamless.
Now, Okay, I'm going to tell you a work story.
Excellent.
All right, it's good for this. It has a cafe quality to it.
Grandpa John, could you tell us a story?
Yeah, this is how I came to work for Microsoft Corporation. And, I was working for a startup company that was owned by Israelis, okay? And they were making a product that was a security software product that was attractive to lots of vendors, Microsoft, because it was a product that was running on the Microsoft platform, whereas most of our competitors were running on different platforms. And so... we got a lot of interest, and of course, that was one of the major goals of the people that founded the company, was to get bought by a big software outfit like Microsoft. So this was, you know, like the dream come true country, okay? And this little company had about 100 employees, okay, counting Israeli and U.S.
Right.
And so we got visited by the vice president, by a vice president of Microsoft, guy that was in charge of basically the network division, okay? And since ours was a network product. And we had a meeting, you know, with the staff, which, you know, the engineering staff and the sales engineering staff, which was, you know, a very small group, and which had a long tradition of kind of meeting on Fridays with the CEO and, you know, kicking stuff around and, you know, what's next and, you know, all that stuff, right? And so one of our Israeli sales engineers, you know, raises his hand. Okay, so says, here at our company, we've had a, you know, we meet every Friday and we sort of talk about stuff and we stay in touch and we keep moving. What's it going to be like at Microsoft? At which point the vice president says, well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I have a little story to tell you. It includes one of my best friends who is currently in charge of Microsoft SQL Server Division, which is a very competitive product, and, you know, Bill Gates is very happy with it. And but when he started out, he was just he was a software guy working for one of the departments down around level 9 and then 12 layer cake. You know, he was plowing away, and he came up with this cool idea about how Microsoft could overcome its deficit in the database market, because it only had, I think, something called Access at the time. You know, that was the only product it had.
Which I used.
Yeah. But it's fine for personal use. But
I used it as an application. We used it as an application for loading all the DBase 3 Plus data for the base closure list into Microsoft Access because of its format for presentation. In PowerPoint.
Yeah, I know, but it's
quite specifically.
But as a database server, it was not competitive.
Okay. No. I mean, you had to load and then on one PC transfer it, you know, take that, load it onto a disk, take it to the other.
Yeah, it was never
PC,
designed. It had a limited design purpose,
yeah,
you know.
Anyway,
this guy came along and he came up with a product that was, you know, not gonna, because the Microsoft platform has some limitations, he was not gonna try and compete with Oracle or, you know, IBM for these giant, you know. Yeah, but
right.
They would come up with a mid-range database server that would be for small businesses and for lots of most applications would be fine. And so he goes to his boss with this idea, and his boss says, you know, that's a pretty good idea. However, you know, because you're going to be coming up here through the server development division, you know, you need to take into account that the next layer up is going to be and consist of people and blah, blah departments and divisions, and that it might, you know, you don't want to step on any toes. Okay, so you should put some boilerplate on the top of it and soup it up a little bit and then send it upstairs, to which he did. Okay, and at that layer, he got, you know, a very similar approach, great idea, and more advice about how to change the boilerplate so that it would not offend, you know, or hurt this particular, you know, segment of the corporation's turf, right? And so on and on. And he finally gets, after 6 months, he finally gets an interview with Steve Ballmer, who was the second in command at the time.
Right, right.
And Ballmer does the exact same thing to him. He says, before you talk to Bill, you know, you need to get all this covered. So he finally gets a meeting with Bill Gates. And he goes in to see Bill. And Bill says, so, tell me what you got here. And he starts his presentation, right, just the way he's been sort of prepared to do. And Bill immediately interrupts him and says, no, 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 no. And he shuffles through the whole proposal to the end where the original document is. And he says, tell me about this one.
Let me strip away all the layers of bullshit that you've had to go through for 6 months.
You know,
your actual idea. What was your original idea? What were you seeing? But they told me. I don't get what they told you.
Well, this is amazing. Because the guy says, he's just tongue-tied, right? Yeah, that, you know, and Bill says, oh, wait. You were probably told that if you didn't tell me all this kind of stuff, that you might never get to see me. And the guy says, that's what I was told. And he says, so what? Start your own fucking company. I did.
Wow.
Now, that's a Bill Gates story. And but guess what? Bill signed on to the project, and that guy's a vice president now. So, but that's that culture of there of, hey, it's a big organization, and it can seem like Kafka's the castle, right?
Right. Right. Well, you have to go through blah, blah, blah on the third floor, and you have to go through on the fourth floor. And then when you're done with that, you have to go back down to the basement because that's where Henry is. And when Henry processes that, he's going to send it up to Bob. And then you're going to have to talk to Bob, and then Bob's going to want to have a meeting with Steve, and you know how Steve can be.
You know, Bill would, what he would
and
do.
And then Mary, forget it. If you want to go in and see Mary, you're in trouble. That's all I'm saying. Just
the way he tried to keep his organization dynamic was that he would just kill projects. I mean, and he killed them partly if they were like, you know, third or fourth place. You know, they weren't going as fast as he wanted. But he would also just kill them because he liked having people stop doing that and get on another team, right? He would shuffle the organizational deck just like almost arbitrarily at times.
Right.
And because he kind of knew that if you don't do that in a big organization, this bureaucratization process will strangle you. it'll grind you right down to.
Gotta shake things up, man. Shake them up.
It'll turn into a turf battle between all your divisions all the time. Well, I got no more headcount than you. You know, he's going to get more headcount if this guy goes through. That whole bullshit.
Hey, what was the, was it Netscape that you worked for?
I worked for Netscape in the beginning, yeah.
That's who it was.
That was my first really, real, true. Well, my buddy and I in South Jersey, we had a little bit of a kind of private networking business for a while, but we didn't charge much because we weren't that good at it. We were learning it.
You know, I could scroll on the side for a dollar, I can tell you.
We got better. We did both get certified. In those days, nobody knew much about it. It was all new stuff.
You know, I knew we had something in common. You got certified, and I am certifiable.
That's right.
Exactly.
Anyway, by the time we got to Netscape, that was fun. Good. I had as much fun working for Netscape as I had working for the union.
Wow.
You know, cool. And I never saw people work so hard.
Right.
And so dedicated. And without really a lot of supervision in some cases. I mean, they might have needed a little bit more in a few cases. But
they were living the dream, man.
They thought they were changing the world. And they were. Mm. You know, they were. And so it was a big thrill. And, you know, you were working with smart people that were doing cool things. And you didn't have to tell anybody to show up for work. I mean, people slept in their damn cubes. Problem was they had to bring their pets with them.
Right.
I told you that by the time the dog savaged some big spread Jim Barksdale had set out for these bankers, you know, at the corporate, in the middle of one of the dining rooms and stuff like that. But the dogs got loose and they ate everything.
I would be cheering for the dog. I would be cheering for the dog.
Hey, that's when pets got banned.
Well,
you know, Barksdale said, you know, no, I'm not doing that. You know,
kind of. Okay, well, you know.
It was like that scene from Elizabethtown where the kid throws the turkey and the dog goes after it.
John, this is Mark.
I am offended
by your divulging company secrets on the air. We are going, my team and I, will be blocking your Facebook page. Thank you. Good day.
It's nice to have an avatar that you can send off on all these little missions.
Wow.
Mark Zuckerberg avatar.
Yes.
Hold on a minute, hold on.
Wait, you're kidding me.
Y'all are going on here promoting a movie about aliens.
Are you
going
to die again?
The Avatar. I've seen that one. That was a bunch of baloney.
Baloney?
Yeah, that's what I ate. I done did it.
You done ate the
baloney sandwich again.
I told you to stop eating that baloney.
I'm going to put some pickles on it and make some stuff.
But a lot of mayo. A little extra mayo, please,
I
on the bologna.
I did it. I'm a governor.
Hey, you signed a big deal there the other day, buddy. You've been holding an $83 billion Chinese nickel in your pocket.
All right, I'm going to get that money in there. I'm gonna get
God. I wonder how much you're going to get.
Hold on, I got to get up over the toilet here.
Half of China will be staying in the Greenbrier now, you know.
Brownie is arguing with my colon. Hold on.
You're what? Hey, well, this is the Moose Turd Cafe. This is the Moose Turd Cafe. Yes, you are on the Moose Turd Cafe, and I can see that you are contributing to. But we don't use a. We don't use a justice excrement. We only use moose turds, pal. I'm sorry.
That was not effective at all.
No, he is just driving me nuts. That guy. I'm just. And now he signed. I want to tell you that this deal,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, okay. They just, man, these guys just brought in a giant freaking egg, and unless maybe in the next couple of days, or next week or so or something, it'll be turned into be something a tenth of its size.
And by the way, everybody, we're coming up on the top of the hour. This is the announcer guy who John would like to fire, but he's not going to because he can't. And we're here at the Moose Turd Cafe on enlightenedradio.org with your original Dusty for the Philosopher and Husband, Sir John Case, and a sometimes sidekick, Mike something. Our call-in line is 304-885-0708. 304-885-0708. This show is currently remains unsponsored. Thank you.
Now, unsponsored does not mean unappreciated. I received a note of appreciation yesterday.
Congratulations,
I did. I'm happy about it. But we got to get back to this thing. This $83.7 billion deal is. They're going to buy. We have sold the state, I believe, to China. If it's true, that China will own West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, I don't know whether that's. I mean, the question you got to ask ultimately is that going to be a thing? Is that going to make it better or worse?
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea, but you know, the fact that there's now a potential source of money. I mean, now's the time, you know, to expose these guys. These guys will take it all for themselves, if there is any.
Oh, they're deciding how to divide up the Chinese pie right now.
You know, right.
Among themselves. They're not interested. They're not interested in working people.
They're releasing the MOU, but we got to get it out there because it's the essence of the whole matter. You know, so,
right.
anyway, I thought Ted did a good job yesterday with you and Gail and getting the whole thing out here.
I thought he did a tremendous job. Sure. Of breaking it down and, you know, giving everybody an understanding of what this is going to mean. You know, there's so many questions that I have above and beyond. Are you horse trading oligarchs? You know what? For
it's a natural resource colony. That's the way they think, and that's all. That's all it is.
Man.
That's all it is. And so why not?
John, are you gonna be cheering in the Hunger Games?
Yeah. Why not contract it out to China?
I understand they're raising the age of the pledges for the Hunger Games. They're gonna reverse it. They're gonna go like 80 and backwards. It's the only people that can qualify for the Hunger Games are 80 to 45 in the state of West Virginia now. So since that's the only people that live here, and we're gonna have to fight it out, man. So if I see you, you know, I'm gonna take you out. Now I'm just saying.
I know, because it's you or them. I'm him or us. You or me. That's gonna be.
And we'll sell advertising. We'll just sell that advertising space on television or whatever media platform it's produced and broadcast on, whether that be Amazon or Netflix or whatever deal they can come up with. I'm certain that will be sellable all over China.
I think we should go out and immediately demand that Shepherd University redirect its entire curriculum to generating fracking experts. I mean, come on, man. We have to suck on this breast. We must. It has been provided to us free.
Yes.
You know, the Chinese want nothing for their $83
billion. No.
Except gas. No. That's all they want. They never want anything else.
No, just the gas.
I think for $83 billion, they're going to want to get 100 back.
I would.
Maybe 150.
Probably closer to 3.
So good, a 3.
I'm gonna give you 83. I want $300 million back.
Yeah, something like that. And that's why it's been the best decision now. Mutually have agreed to not release what West Virginia is going to do for China.
I understand
right away.
When the deal was signed, I heard one of the reporters heard a voice coming from the room. And the voice was, "Sign here now."
I mean, it was like Darth Vader.
Yes, it was sounded like Beelzebub.
Or Darth Daddy.
Yes. The Emperor.
Remember, he didn't have a daddy. He was
my young apprentice.
Now remember that young Darth did not have a father. It was an immaculate conception. Remember? Yeah.
No. John, you got it all wrong.
Do I?
Yeah, I think so. I think you have it all wrong. No, his mentor was originally Palpatine. Was Congressman Palpatine?
Yeah,
the Royal Senate, who eventually became the Emperor.
Yeah, but in the movie about the kid, remember the mother? Who was the father? There was none.
Well, that was just.
You think that was BS?
Yeah, there was a father.
Because that's why they thought the Force was so strong in him, because she didn't want
people to know who the father was.
Well, that's possible too, but that's not part of the narrative.
Anakin had a father. So.
Not in the movie, he didn't. He specifically did not in the movie.
Okay, all right.
And she was never refuted by the movie.
Okay, all right, John.
He is Jesus Christ, too. It's the second coming.
You are the chosen one.
My world's been flipped upside down, buddy. It has. I only found out yesterday that Joseph, you know, the husband of Mary and the mother of God, was 90 and she was 12. And wearing a Me Too t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Okay, and now it's clear that Darth Vader is actually Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to follow that logic. I'm just not. I'm just not.
The world, it's a celestial omnibus.
When will then be now? You missed it! When? Just then! What's the matter, Colonel Sanders, chicken?
What's that Stephen Wright joke that you do? You do that really. I wish I could remember.
Which one?
I can't even. The one you did yesterday. I can't even remember. I was trying to remember.
Hey, I woke up the other day and everything in my apartment had been stolen and replaced with an exact duplicate. I went to my roommate and I said, "Hey, man, everything has been stolen and replaced with an exact duplicate." My roommate said, "Do I know you?" Yeah, I mean, that's very similar to a one-liner that Brett Leake used to use.
I love it, though.
Very simple. Brett Leake is a handy-capable comedian who's one of my favorite clean comics of all time. He used to say, when somebody comes up to you and says, "You're not quite yourself today," say this: "Why are you telling me?"
Yeah.
I love that guy. You know, they abbreviate pounds LBS. It's not fair. It's not even in the word. Now, how am I supposed to abbreviate light bulbs?
Yeah. I wish you could get your situation, you know, stabilized so you could do a whole program on comics stuff, comedy.
I really wish you could. That would be good. I would thoroughly enjoy that because there's a lot of them I can call.
Well, that's true, but even just the tapes and just talking about your, you know, the whole industry and experience and all that is just like a I don't know of that many other internet programs that do that. There are some out there.
No, there's a lot. There's a lot. There's a really good program, internet program out of New York, where there's younger and mix of younger and older. I think it's the panel is three people in an apartment, and they they evaluate stand-ups, and you got to be careful because they are not afraid of shredding people. That's one thing about stand-ups is we have no fear of eating our own. We will destroy someone for not being funny or for wearing a certain thing.
Keep talking for a second, buddy. Hold on.
Sure. They will, if you're wearing something a little over the top or, you were trying to dress to impress at a particular showcase and the orange, glowing orange shirt didn't work out so well, and, you know, it's reflecting the light. Apparently, you know, someone's going to try to see your act, but then they're going to say, I couldn't focus on anything else. I just wanted orange juice. You know, they're just going to critique back and forth. I'd love to watch that video again, but my eyes are burning orange. They're just going to go on about that. So, you know. But there's also another really, really good...
Right. I'm back.
Another really, really good podcast I told you about a long time ago, and I congratulate the guys for having such a great audience base now, and they've really stuck with it over the years, is Three Guys On. And that's guys that I knew. I had the good fortune of seeing them develop and hone their craft, and that's Randolph Terrence, Andy Klein, and Tim Miller.
Right.
All very, very funny stand-ups from... they're not originally from the D.C. area, but they call D.C. their home. Now, I mean, Andy is, but Randolph, I think, originally was from Texas. He's a Texas guy, and I think Tim Miller is as well. So very, really funny guys, and they have interviews, and they have different guest hosts on, and there's a lot of different comics going on, and Randolph works I don't think it's exclusive, but he works a lot with what used to be the Cinnamon Draft House.
else in Arlington, which has now moved to D.C., which, you know, there's now another comedy club, I think, in the D.C. area, which is, there's the Improv, and then there's the Arlington, or the original, now D.C. Cinema and Draft House.
All right, we need to cover a couple of news items here.
News alert!
So guess what's going to be stuck into the moose turd pie?
Repeal of the
tax plan. Yes, they're going to sneak in right in the middle of the overall shit sandwich, okay? There's going to be a little baby's bleeding heart. Hope you like it, or don't like it.
Yeah, it's tasty.
And I want to tell you that that is a,
look at the cut. I mean, that and the cuts in Medicare and Medicaid, I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Right, so they're going to try and make it. What the trick is this, repeal the individual mandate. Well, the individual mandate is the only thing that makes any of it affordable at all.
Right.
Okay, so if you repeal the mandate, forget it. I mean, most of the states, the markets will collapse. Okay.
Right, and now you have insurance companies essentially saying, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and justify our increases now. Already.
Sure, if you're going to go in the face of that. I mean, but without the mandate, it's not. You'd have to have much bigger subsidies to make it work. And it's not gonna happen. So I mean, it's just elementary mathematics if you think about it. But
and there will be, I think to a certain extent, I think there's gonna be more pushback against this, whether it gets through, if the legislation gets through or not. There's gonna be more pushback against this than there was against the healthcare repeal. Because that's what it is by any other name, but it's even worse because it adds, trillions of dollars to the deficit with a T. It doesn't provide any services. It doesn't expand anything. The only thing they're doing is clearing the way so that they can give tax breaks to their donors. That's it.
And this is the same. It's the same deal. The people who don't, you know, who just can't abide it, they're like the people who, my house is not on fire. Why should I pay for a fire department? and you look at a person, and I hear people say that kind of thing, because you live in a society, moron. That's why. Do you want to...
Have him down there. Hold on a second. Hey, this is Cletus. I want you to listen to me, doggone. I'll come and call you. It's Cletus. I'm telling you right now. Every halftime, I see them firemen. They ain't doing nothing. Just sliding down them poles, just playing games.
How come your pig died?
And I'm playing... Hey, hey, man, none of your business why my pig died. Ain't none of your business. All right?
Have you been...
All right, I got a gun. I ain't afraid.
But have you been abusing your pig?
I ain't scared.
You've been abusing your pig?
Oh, there yonder in the holler the other day, looking over there. I've got to see that dog on...
I think you've been abusing your pigs.
Tell you what, that's none of your business what I do my pig.
I want to tell you right now...
I'll tell you what, I got more than one pig.
There's no women left in your county,
I got women. I got women everywhere. Shut up. Don't you be insulting me, son. I'll tell you what, I'm coming over there.
Hey, bring a sandwich.
I know where that holler is. I'm going to go yonder in that holler, I'll tell you what.
Oh, come on over here. Yeah, you know.
I'm going to go yonder in that holler, son. I'll tell you what. I got that pig there. I'm watching him firemen. They ain't do nothing.
Right. I'm going
to
introduce you to my...
Just because somebody else stupid enough to burn their house down, ain't me. I'm going to burn my house down. Tell you what, I'm going to go shoot my gun. Bye.
You don't have a house to burn down. You know, who are you kidding?
Wow. I can't. I wish I had a reaction, but
I know. He was a powerful voice there for reason and science.
Have a...
Oh, man. Okay. So, Session lies.
Mr. Case.
Can you say something about Jeff
Mr.
Sessions?
Case.
Yes, Dr. Lecter. I don't want to. I don't want to interrupt.
Very
you
right quickly, Mr. Case. I know what happened to Cletus's family and his pig.
Okay. Man, he has an answer to all these mysteries that. No wonder.
I came on here to. I don't recall.
You need to talk to Agent Starling.
I come on here and I tell you, I don't recall. If I say I don't recall something, I'm offended that you would say that I should remember. I don't have a photographic memory or anything. I just know what I said, and I just know Russian collusion. This collusion.
I think if you were suspended from your.
By any kind
I think
of,
if you were suspended from your ankles by the ceiling for a day or two, you would talk a little more.
There's no. That is just heinous and quite objectable.
I think a visit, in your case, I would make an exception to my disregard of Guantanamo.
In my first hearing, I got nervous because that awful black woman started talking to me.
No, they make you nervous, don't they?
She had no respect for who I am.
What do you mean?
Well, offensive.
Well, of course you did. She showed you great respect.
I do not deserve this type of grilling and treatment, and that horrible senator from Minnesota. He's more smart and scares me.
Yes, as he should.
Wow,
I believe he should. Yes, that's right. So Al Franken, man, Dr. Lecter, God, and the Senate, and former senator. I don't know. They may have some plot here to remake him senator. I heard that from the on the
that's
as
something
McConnell.
That's something that's in the ether. I read that too. That they're going to put him back in his spot.
Right,
for
so
Alabama because Roy Moore.
Because they don't want Roy Moore, you know. And
no, well, you know.
I think the net around Roy is tightening.
Yeah,
I would say.
Well, I mean, Flake came out and said he would support Doug Jones. If there's no write-in candidate, he said there's no other option.
Wow.
So that's frightening. To prove once again that Senator Flake has no more F's to give.
Yeah, I know.
He's exit stage left even.
He hates these guys, it's clear. Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
no,
he does.
So, and I don't know, Corker's not going to do it, but, you know, Corker is, has come out and said he wouldn't support. But one thing they did do is pull their operatives. All their staff is gone. They left.
You mean for those for the guys who are leaving the Senate?
No, for Roy Moore.
They
pulled all the offices are all closed now.
Oh, so he? Oh, really? Oh, so
yeah,
he's hunkering down. Yes, I think he's.
Yeah.
I don't see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it looks to me like he's going to lose. Or the net seems to be tightening. You know, when McConnell rebuffed him totally, that was.
It's not
I know you had another thing in mind, and you're the guy that put this. You're the guy that put that baby's bleeding heart in the middle of your tax shit sandwich, aren't you? Confess right now.
I would beg that you use better language.
You give me a break.
You're not a moral person, Mr. Case.
What would you know about morality?
I know, I've been involved in Kentucky for years, and I don't want to tell you something.
You've been an example of immorality for years.
I don't need to take this, sir. I'm offended, and I'm leaving.
Okay, well, I wish you would, you know, go off and chew on some grass.
Hold on a second. He's almost to the door. He's opening the door. I think his head went back in his shell. I don't know. I can't. Oh,
I don't like him. After he put that baby's bleeding heart in a shit sandwich, I just thought that was one step too far.
Right. This is a shit sandwich on top of a shit sandwich. Deep fried.
Yeah. Oh.
Because we care.
I know. Right. That's right.
Because, hey, we care.
I don't know. Anyway, now also we have to speak about Russia.
Mm. Yep.
There are some.
Yep.
Who think that the Russia story is a hoax. Now, there are some left wingers that think this too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and one may say that this does not apply to Senator Sanders because I've heard him, you know, lay out what I thought was a pretty balanced international view myself, you know. So, but some factions of people who call themselves Sanders supporters are also viewing the Russia thing as a cover up for the Clintons. You know, that's almost very close to a Trumpy kind of line, you know, kind of deal.
Right, and we also don't know, with regards to that, we don't know how many of those right now are actually saying that, or that is actually a product of the Russian bot?
Or RT. That's right. Another place, by the way, we should seek funding. I think we should seek funding from the Chinese and RT and Russia, maybe. Mike, you know, we've been beaten. Let's just lay it on the line. We've had our ass kicked. You know, we're ready to surrender.
I'll have to ask my buddy Lee.
Yeah, what kind of sandwich can we eat that will? I mean, right. Can we still keep the cafe open before we come to work every day? Is that okay? It'll work for us, you know.
We'll be like Tom Baudette.
Right.
We'll leave the light on for you.
You know, I mean, Mike has a set of jokes about those stupid anti-fracking people. That's just amazing. You ought to hear him, man. You know, keep you'll be, you know, but.
it becomes a very difficult proposition out there. There's no, you know, the funny thing is the last time we tried this extreme trickle down, nothing trickled down. It never does. You know, telling me that corporations, hey, they're bringing their money back here, they're going to invest in jobs. No, actually they're not. No, they will not. They're not going to invest in jobs. They're not going to invest in you. They're not going to invest in me. You know who they're going to invest in? Foreign investors. That's what they're going to do.
I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it's really, this trade deal, I don't know, man. It's a fairly interesting thing. I mean, a lot of these projects that were part of the so-called trade deal that they signed over there in China are not contracts, but more of the MOUs more of the projects have already published the MOU, which it always includes, you know, okay, what private and public resources are going to be used to meet the to make the investment work. Okay.
Well, I have a private investment fund I would like to sell.
Yes.
And that private investment fund is called Patience and Mike. That's my
right.
So if you feel like investing,
that's right. Right.
I'll be your huckleberry.
They've published a graph of their anticipated earnings.
I have a property I can sell you over here in Shepherdstown. You know, it's for $500,000. Yeah, that's it. $500,000, and it's all yours.
I prefer cash, please.
Yes. Could you? Small bills. Oh, tiny little small bills. Just ones, fives, twenties.
Okay, yeah.
Untraceable.
Right.
Untraceable. I can't. And don't bring me that stuff that's got that stuff from that's colorized that you stole from the bank. although it would be apropos.
Now, I wonder if you went through the whole thing and said, okay, for cash, half price right now.
Well, I mean, as I said, anytime you start to negotiate, you want to start high.
I think it's also important that you guys be out there somewhere near the wall that's going to be constructed.
Whoa.
Imagine the security you'll feel if you're right on the other side of the wall.
Well, listen, I think they should hire a special counsel to investigate stupidity. But that's just me, right?
Oh, man. You know, but then...
I would be a very busy special counsel.
You know, then there's the whole question of the IQ tests. And
yes.
It gets to be so complicated.
Well, I'm just concerned about our Attorney General's ability to remember anything. You know, that doesn't give anybody...
Well, he's lying. He's probably got a perfect memory. No, he's just—it's all mystification. That's all. He's very experienced in the Senate, you know, so he knows all about it. And
And if you feel offended by something, please let it all out. Pretend like you're offended. Get it on record that I am so offended, sir. How dare you disparage my asparagus?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean, you could, but all that's just hot air. And I mean, like, I can't believe that everybody in the Senate doesn't know it. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they know. And there's some, like, the representative from Ohio should shut the F up. He was grilling him on not having a special counsel into Clinton and the uranium deal. So, you know, listen, shut up. It's been provenly fictitious from the very beginning.
Well... I don't know. It's just like it's so debased, the whole thing. It's making everybody just cringe. I think that it's going to get. I do believe that what happened in Virginia and Jersey, can expand. I'm
hopeful.
Yeah, I think it can, but I find the intransigence and the resort to intimidation on the other side.
I would
fairly
also
scary.
Beg you. I would also beg you to keep in mind that is the any divide on this side is going to be inflamed by that side.
Yeah,
they're going
true.
To keep driving that wedge as much as possible because the more
true.
They can do that, the less, you know, the less groupthink we're going to have.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep doing what we talked about is we're going to keep making the perfect the enemy of the good. We have to be very, very mindful of that. I understand that we don't line up on every issue. I get that. But you know what? It's on fire.
Yeah,
I'm not going to question how you're holding the barrel or how much water's in it. Just get a barrel and get some water.
Good point. That's a good point, brother. You know, no wonder they don't want you to be greeting a greeter at Walmart, but...
Well, I am... I'm not offended by that. That was something we talked about off air. So.
No. But no, I was remembering our good friend, our mutual friend. You know Rick. You know, probably
right.
Yeah. Anyway, so
Rick.
Rick was getting Rick's getting his hip replaced, by the way.
And our
friend JB has gotten his hip replaced.
Yeah, he's immobile over there.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're.
But anyway, my friend Rick was working. Has been working. Part time.
You need to call me off air and give me an idea of what your plan is going to be for today.
I do. My plan is actually today is I'm going to have lunch in Shepherdstown with Mike Robertus, and then after that I want to go see JB. So
okay.
like 1:30. So if you wanted to ride on over, you know, we could do that.
Let me see, because I really, really got, you know, I'm tangling this with this thing, and it looks like I might be able to get to a point where there's going to be some paint on the walls. And if I get to that point today, you won't see me.
Hold on a second here.
Hey,
by the way, everybody, we're coming on the bottom of the hour.
We got to bring it to a close. I got Rita Neiman calling in here in a minute, you know, so we got
to
sort of...
Okay, coming down to 7:30 a.m. Yeah. Thanks a lot for listening to the Booster Cafe with your original dozen-foot philosopher husband, Sir John Case, and sometimes I kick Mike Diesel, who's actually very funny sometimes, occasionally.
He's always funny, and he's a great guy. All right, man.
By the way, anytime you want to call in to lightradio.org, it's 304-885-0708. It's November 15th, everybody. It's my brother Dan's birthday. Happy birthday, Dan.
Okay. All right. Thanks,
man. I just confused who I was there. Wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute. That was your announcer. He made all the mistakes. Blame it on him. Okay?
Oh,
Senator Sanders, thank you so much for signing off here today.
I just want to say, you know, thank you to you and your crew for pointing out how ridiculous this tax bill is going to be.
Okay.
Because it is beyond ridiculous.
It is.
It is giving even more money to the top 1%.
Senator Sanders.
Sustainable, it's unsurvivable.
That's right.
Honestly.
All right,
buddy. You have to be vigilant.
Thank you.
Enough is enough.
It is. All right, everybody.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
All right, man. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.